Hi, and welcome to Late Night with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally, dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll stick with us and even join in the conversation here this evening. You can give us a call with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word by calling toll-free 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we can get you on the program here this evening with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Let's go ahead and start our program tonight with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray, Lord, that you would bless the program this evening and use it for your glory. Help us to point people to Christ through the things that we talk about, and that we can glorify our Savior, and that we can be a blessing to people. And we just pray your blessing on the program this evening, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as we come on the air tonight, certainly our prayers go out for people down in Sydney, Australia. If you haven't heard, it's a late developing news story out of Australia. There is a hostage situation going on that appears to be linked to Islamic militants. It's taking place in a downtown area in Sydney. That's Australia's largest city, and I guess it's not too terribly far from the Sydney Opera House. That's something that many people here in America are familiar with, the picture of the Sydney Opera House there on the harbor there, Sydney Harbor. But there's a chocolate shop and cafe that is located there in a fairly nice area, the downtown area, not all that terribly far either from the American consulate in Sydney. And there are one or more armed men apparently holding, it's estimated possibly 30 to 50 people, maybe around 40 people, hostage in there right now, according to news reports. So you can Google that, or go, better yet, I guess it'd be go online to foxnews.com or newsmax.com. You can see some of the developing situation there, and you can click to some other links and find out more. But a number of the hostages have been standing up against the windows with their arms on the windows, and even a black flag with white Arabic writing on it that appears very reminiscent from the glimpses that I've seen of it, and also people who are a little more familiar with it, an awful lot like flags that you'll see various jihadist groups such as, the Islamic State or some of these other groups that are Al-Qaeda, different things like that, flying. And Australia has been on high alert, as has been England and Great Britain in general and some other locations, because of persistent threats of violence and attacks on these countries. And so certainly pray for the people that are there and pray for a peaceful resolution of that situation. And like I said, if you want more information, I would suggest going on to foxnews.com or newsmax.com, and you can find out some more information about that. Well, and that, of course, reminds us that we are in a very dangerous world, a very dangerous time in world history. And you say, well, every time's been a dangerous time. Well, we have technology and things today that can make it even more dangerous than that other times in the past. And so we certainly, as believers, need to remember that there are a lot of people in the world who do not like Christianity. They do not like Christians. They are opposed to what we believe. And there's over a billion Muslims in the world. I want to throw out a guess. I think about 1.6 or so billion, I think, is estimated as Muslims. And You know, many of these people are content to live alongside of you and I, but there's a certain segment, and just for the sake of argument and just to make it easy to work with the figures, if there was 1.6 billion Muslims in the world and only 10% of them were sympathetic with the jihadists, that would mean, what would that be, 10% of 1.6 million, 160 million people who would be willing to participate, or at least directly or indirectly, in as the Quran commands them to do, striking terror into the hearts of the infidels, the unbelievers, the kafir, and so that you'll strike terror in their hearts and hopefully cause them to convert to Islam. And see, unlike Christianity, Islam in its materials in the Quran and in the Hadith, and certainly the Hadith carry the example of Muhammad, they are told and encouraged and shown by example of Muhammad to use violence and terror and beheadings to spread Islam by the force of the sword. In Christianity, and I'm going to preface that, Bible Christianity. There's a lot of movements in the past bearing the name of Christianity. For instance, the Crusades was a project of the Roman Catholic Church, and they were equal opportunity persecutors. They persecuted the Jews, they persecuted the Muslims, and they persecuted the Baptists and other Bible-believing Christians of their day. And so when I say Bible Christianity, I'm excluding them. I'm only talking about those that accept the Bible as the final authority, of, as the Word of God, and that believe that we should spread our religion the same way that Jesus did, by talking with people and reasoning out of the Scriptures and giving them the gospel and then allowing them to make the choice. We do not force people to get saved. We do not threaten people with violence if they do not get saved. We do not cut off the heads of people in order to strike terror into people so that others will get saved. And just because there's been a few so-called Christian groups that, contrary to the Scriptures, have done some similar things in the past, that does not characterize Christianity. The Bible does not tell us to do that. However, the Quran, on the other hand, does tell the followers of Islam to do that, and so the ones that do that are not going in violation of their Scripture. They are doing exactly what their holy book tells them to do. They're doing exactly what the founder of their religion did in his practice. So anyway, we can talk about that. We can talk about other things, and certainly pray for the folks down there in Sydney, Australia, and hopefully there'll be a peaceful resolution to that that situation. I guess there was also a suspicious package found at the Sydney Opera House. They evacuated that, and they were worried that that might be an explosive device there. They stopped some trains and buses in the area, blocked off a number of roads, and so we just have to remember. And of course, this is there about, well, I guess it would be early Monday morning there right now. Early in the day, Monday, they're on the other side of the international dateline. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. You can give us a call tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear you hear from you on the program here this evening. And I guess in light of talking about what's going on in Australia here tonight, and we opened up the program, I was thinking about some things that Jesus warned would be taking place in the end times. And there's a tremendous passage in Matthew chapter 24 and going around through there. Also, it's Luke covers some of these things in Luke chapter 21 and different places. But in Matthew chapter 24, verse 6, Jesus has said, "In the latter days, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." All these things must come to pass, he said, but the end is not yet. And we certainly are in a day when we see wars and rumors of war. I guess Sydney, Australia would be in the afternoon, about 3:15 in the afternoon right now. But and not only that, in Luke chapter 21 and verse 11, Jesus also said that we would hear about great earthquakes in diverse places. And certainly we see a number of earthquakes. Back to Matthew 24, verse 7, the Bible says, "Nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom." Also in verse number 7 says, "And there shall be famines in diverse places." Also in Matthew 24, verse 7 says, "There'll be pestilences in diverse places." And we see these diseases such as, Ebola. And we have seen one of the worst episodes or worst outbreaks of Ebola. Every once in a while, it has raised itself up, and then it would appear for a while, and then it would disappear. But this has been one of the longest and most extensive outbreaks of Ebola, and we've even had cases of Ebola right here in the United States of America. And we remember that one guy that came, he arrived in Texas, and he later died there in Texas. And one of the nurses that took care of him caused a bit of controversy right here in northeastern Ohio when she came and visited family in the Akron, Ohio area, and then went back home. So we have a number of things like that taking place, diverse pestilences in diverse areas. And then, of course, we see in Luke chapter 21, he talks there in verses 25 and 26, Jesus warns about fearful sights. He says, "Upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity." And we certainly see that today. And then we have men's hearts failing them for fear. And one of the major causes of heart attacks has to do with stress and anxiety. And really that stress and anxiety results from fear and the stress that that causes. And men's hearts failing them for fear. And then he also warns that there would be great signs in heaven or from heaven, and signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. And these various things that he talks about taking place that get our attention. And then, of course, Jesus said there in Luke 21, when you see these things begin to happen, and that's a key phrase, when we see these things begin to happen, Luke 21, verse 28, he says, don't panic, don't become fearful. He doesn't say that, he doesn't say be fearful or panic. He wants us not to panic. He says, when you see these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your eyes, for your redemption draweth nigh. And that, of course, refers to the catching away of the believers prior to the events of the tribulation. And that's why it's called our blessed hope. It'll take place before things get too bad. And certainly we encourage people to trust Christ as their Savior so that they can be a part of that great day. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we have a question from Holly in Mogador asking about our Christmas Eve service. And wanted to mention that. Is Holly on the phone with us?
This is Claudia.
Oh, Claudia.
Claudia from Mogador, yes,
okay.
Sir.
Had you down here as Holly, it looked like.
Oh, that's right. First of all, I just want to thank you for your radio program. I just love it.
Well, thank you.
And it's just so educational and so newsworthy, and I could go on and on and on, but I just want to let you know thank you so much. And I also wanted to ask you about your Christmas Eve service.
All right. Well, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to plug that before I forget about it.
Okay.
Yeah, if you're in northeastern Ohio, and I know we have a lot of listeners out of state, and we're on in northeast Ohio, certainly out of AM 1220, the Word here in northeast Ohio, and we're also on, Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN down in Tampa, Florida, and so we get a lot of listeners in. There's a lot of travel between Florida and Ohio, and
correct.
So there's an off chance that there may be some of our Florida listeners up here in northeast Ohio at this Christmas time. And anybody that, if you're listening And you have the opportunity, if you're in the area here in northeastern Ohio, our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, Ohio. And if you look on a map, it's almost exactly where Interstate 80 and Interstate 70 cross, or Interstate 77. I said 70, didn't I? Interstate 80 and Interstate 77. And we are having our Christmas Eve candlelight service on December 24th at 7 o'clock. And that will be there in the conference room at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. And you can always find out more about us and information about the church and location and things like that if you go to our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And that's got links to our church website. It's got links to our Facebook pages. And you can like us on Facebook and learn more things about what we're doing. And certainly, if you're not busy on Christmas Eve, if your church is not doing something and you'd like to spend some time and just, it's just a time we sing some Christmas songs and we read through the birth of Christ according to the scriptures, a little booklet that I put together some years ago, which incidentally, if you go to our livewithpastoral.com, you can follow a link and get a free e-copy of that. But we'll read through that and we'll take time to share some of the blessings of the past year, and then just a nice time of fellowship afterwards. We'll have some refreshments. Some got to have Christmas cookies, so you can't.
Oh yeah,
you got to have those.
Oh yeah,
and
okay.
And just a little quiet fellowship, a little relaxing time before Christmas Day. And it's such a busy time of year. People having parties, people having get-togethers, going here, going there,
yes.
And of course trying to shop. And we lose track of the real meaning of Christmas.
Correct.
And it's a time to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir. Okay, well, I do appreciate you and your program, and I thank you for the information.
Well, thank you, and I hope to see you there if you get the
yes,
chance.
Sir.
That would be great.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Have a blessed evening.
I appreciate that. Thanks.
Yes,
and,
sir. Bye.
And again, if anybody's listening and you want to join us New Year's Eve. I'm all over the place tonight, aren't I? Christmas Eve. We'll be at Christmas Eve, 7 o'clock, Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road. Just Google us, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. We're located in northern Summit County, town of Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, right where Interstate 80 and Interstate 77 cross. We'll be there 7 o'clock on New Year's Eve. Probably goes about an hour and a half, I would say, and then however long people stay around in fellowship afterwards. We'll be looking forward to that. And that's always one of our favorite services of the year, and we enjoy the opportunity to do that. All right. And again, if you've got a question, want to get on the air with us tonight, your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air here this evening. And I wanted to share something with you here tonight as well. Certainly, we think about Christmas coming up, and we'll be looking at some more things on next week's program. Obviously, that'll be the Sunday prior to Christmas. But one of the things that's really interesting that I kind of discovered last year doing some research and some study, and most of us are familiar with parts of the Christmas account, the Christmas story in the scriptures. And there's one part that a lot of times many of us have read for many years. I know I've read it. And we miss all of what's being said here because we're just not familiar with some of the background information. And the Bible tells us that when Jesus was born, in Luke chapter 2, it says that, talking about the birth of Jesus and Mary giving birth, I'll pick it up in verse 7. It says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." And we're familiar with that part of the story because Jesus Christ, we're familiar with the story, the stable, the nativity scenes and things that the animals around, and we're all familiar with songs singing about that, Little Drummer Boy and Silent Night, Away in a Manger and all that sort of thing. But why was it he was wrapped in swaddling clothes? And part of it was that was to symbolize his death. This baby was born to die. Jesus came into the world so that he could go to the cross. And of course, when somebody died, they wrapped them in this cloth. They wrapped the body in the cloth and they laid it in the grave. And so this is a picture of that, but it's a deeper picture than that. And this is the part that I find fascinating. The Bible says in verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Now, you ever wonder why the angel appeared to these shepherds and not some other group of shepherds? This group of shepherds, and we're going to turn to Micah here in a minute, but this group of shepherds apparently was about an hour's journey outside of Bethlehem. And so why did the angel of the Lord appear and announce the birth of Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, to this group of shepherds? And this is what I found interesting. If you look at some of these prophecies in Micah, we have, of course, the prophecy in Micah chapter 5, I believe it's verse 2, that says that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. But there's a very interesting prophecy that's given over in chapter 4 about the Messiah that's overlooked. And if we don't get through all this before the bottom of the hour break, we'll pick it up on the second half of the program. But in Micah chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee it shall come, even the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem." And it goes on to talk about some things here. It says, "Now, why dost thou cry aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail." And it talks about a woman giving birth. But the interesting thing, this tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, this was a particular place where some of the Levitical shepherds would oversee the birth of lambs that were to be slain in the temple as Passover lambs. Under the law, the Jewish people were to go down to Jerusalem and sacrifice a lamb at Passover, if at all possible. And God did not expect somebody living up in a Galilee, for instance, to try and take a lamb with him all the way down to Jerusalem. They had permission that they could sell the animal and take the money with them, and they could go down to Jerusalem where they could purchase a lamb that could be offered up as a sacrifice at Passover and at other times in the temple as well. And that's one of the reasons that when Jesus arrived in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and looked around the temple, there were people selling animals on the Temple Mount. And so this was a practice that, of course, was being abused by the time Jesus came around. But when Jesus was born, the Levitical priests that were shepherds were overseeing the birth of these little lambs. And do you know what they did with them? When the lamb was born, they inspected it. If it was perfect, without blemish, they would wrap that little lamb in strips of cloth like swaddling clothes and lay it in a manger-like affair. That was to separate them, keep them from getting injured or something happening to them, so they could be set aside to become Passover lambs the following spring. And remember what the angel said to them. The angel came to them and said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be," notice in verse 12, here in chapter 2 and verse 12, "and this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." You know what? When they saw that little baby lying in the manger, it was instantly recognizable to them that that baby was wrapped up the same way that those Passover lambs were wrapped up and set aside to be sacrificed for our sins. Talk about a powerful picture. The swaddling clothes signified that that little baby Jesus lying in the manger was sent into this world to die for our sins. And that, of course, is what Jesus did. He went to the cross where he shed his blood as he suffered and died to pay for our sins. And I think that's an absolutely powerful story when you think and you look at that and the reason why these shepherds were singled out for this. And they went to Bethlehem, and guess what? That's what they saw. Before we hit the break, let me touch on one other thing that's kind of neat. I just heard this past week. You ever see the Peanuts Charlie Brown Christmas special? If you remember Linus in the Charlie Brown comics, he always had his security blanket. In the Peanuts Christmas special, when Linus begins to tell the Christmas story and he quotes Luke chapter 2, at the moment that Linus gets to the part where the angels say, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people," Linus drops his blanket and leaves it behind and walks forward. See, when he's looking at the birth of the Savior and thinking about that, he didn't need a security blanket. He had Christ. Hey, stay tuned. We've got another whole half hour here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Stay tuned. We'll be another half hour to go.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. and hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. Our telephone lines are open. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here. And just a reminder, you can always find out more about us at our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. That links to our church page. That links to our Facebook pages, and you can like us on Facebook there as well. But I also want to remind you that we're brought to you tonight by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights here, Cleveland, Ohio area. If you're up in northeastern Ohio, stop in at East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. They've got calzones, stromboli sandwiches, wraps, Lebanese food, and a whole lot more in addition to some of the best pizza you've ever had. And they're located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can also get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, whether you're in northeastern Ohio or down in Florida or somewhere in between, give Gus a call, East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. Ask for Gus at East Coast Pizza, and he can help you get started in your own pizza business for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. That's East Coast Pizza, Garfield Heights, 216-341-9100. Well, we're going to get back to our program here this evening. And again, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the program here this evening. And of course, the annual Christmas wars are on, I guess you could say. There's been another Christmas nativity booted from the courthouse and City Hall there in North Carolina. There was Dallas, North Carolina. I thought for a minute that was Dallas, Texas. You see some cities and you normally think of them being in a certain area. Being up in northeastern Ohio, if I hear Cleveland, I naturally think Cleveland, Ohio. But people down in Texas or Georgia or Florida, when they hear Cleveland, they might often think of Cleveland, Tennessee very often. And so you get used to seeing certain city names in certain places. But in Dallas, North Carolina, not Dallas, Texas, they had a nativity that for about 40 years has been outside of a North Carolina courthouse there in Dallas, North Carolina. And it's been very popular, and it's been a favorite of the residents there in Dallas, North Carolina. And Fox News is reporting that this nativity is being given the boot. Now, the nativity was moved from the court down the street to a local auto shop because a group, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, stuck their nose into the affairs of this town, Dallas, North Carolina, and they complained that the statues of Joseph, Mary, and Jesus were on government property and were therefore owned by the town of Dallas. Well, now the government property might have been owned, and even if the nativity was owned by that, it shouldn't make any difference. Now, they like to go back and they like to say, well, that's against the Constitution, which it's not. It is not. The Constitution says Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion. Now, Christmas is a federal holiday. A lot of people don't realize that. Christmas is recognized by the federal government as an official holiday of the United States of America. And so in that sense, it is a legal holiday, a federal holiday, federally recognized holiday. So it's not wrong to celebrate a federal holiday on government property, whether it's local, state, or federal. And the simple thing, the law, is that Congress cannot make people be a certain religion. And I dare say that when you have a federal holiday that celebrates the birth of Jesus Christ, the pivotal figure in the majority religion in this country, not only today, but all throughout our history from the very founding of this country, and when you have a display that simply recognizes the birth of this pivotal historical figure that a federal holiday celebrates, that's not the government coming in and forcing people to become Baptists or Catholics or Methodists or Presbyterians or even Christians of any kind. It's not forcing anything. All it's saying is this is a celebration of this holiday that is observed by the majority of the people in this country as the birth of Jesus Christ, the pivotal figure in the majority religion of this nation. It's not establishing a church. That First Amendment that was added to make sure, and it was added at the request and the pressure of Baptists that did not want the federal government to make the Congregational Church or the Episcopalian Church or some other church an official United States church. They did not want one denomination be favored above all others by the federal government. It was so that we would have freedom to practice our religion. They did not want state churches. They had come from a time when in the Massachusetts colony and then Massachusetts state, if you were not a Congregationalist, if you observed another denomination's services in Massachusetts, you could be fined, you could be even thrown in jail and other punishments that ensued. Same thing in Virginia if you were not an Episcopalian. And many Baptists in both Virginia and Massachusetts and other places in the United States in the early days were fined, jailed, beaten, and lost property, and in some cases even banished because they did not follow the state church. They followed the Bible and their conscience. They believed in freedom of religion. Now, the Freedom From Religion Foundation is not for the freedom of religion. They don't want there to be any religion. What they want is for the government to restrict the free expression of religion. Now, let me read more into the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. I read the part, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Having a nativity scene on the courthouse lawn in Dallas, North Carolina, is not establishing a religion. However, the next part, the next clause here, it says, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Guess what the Freedom From Religion Foundation is suing and has sued to make the government do? They sued to make the government prohibit the free exercise of religion. Now, how is it that they can get away with that? You know, there's no right in the Constitution to not be offended. Absolutely no right. Jewish people can put up a menorah. If you're a Muslim, you can put something up, a display during Ramadan or something like that, and people do. But the key here is not only can Congress not establish a religion, they cannot prohibit the free exercise thereof. And see, they're very selective in what they choose to read into the Constitution. They're very selective what they choose to enforce, and they ignore what they don't like. Because the Freedom From Religion Foundation in Dallas, North Carolina, made a complaint that these things offended them because it was on government property. And in doing so, they resulted in the direct action of the government prohibiting the free exercise of religion. Now, why isn't that a constitutional crisis? Where is the ACLU fighting on behalf of allowing this nativity scene to be there on the courthouse lawn in Dallas, North Carolina, or on the lawn of the town halls across this nation. They used to be there without any problem. You know, the majority of the people in Dallas, North Carolina, apparently, and in countless other towns and cities across this nation, have agreed that they want these displays at Christmas time. They want nativities set up, and they've agreed to that. They believe that. The majority of the people like that. And yet, one person or one small vocal minority comes along, and they say, I'm offended. And so the government decides that in interest of not offending a few people, they have to offend the majority of the community. And that's what it amounts to. In order not to offend a few, they choose to offend the majority. And guess what? The few that they choose not to offend are the secular humanists. And you know what? Secular humanism is recognized as a religion by the Supreme Court of the United States, by the courts, by the federal government. Now, let me ask you this. If they choose to elevate the opinion of the secular humanists, a religious group, according to our government, then why is it okay, using their reasoning, for the federal government or any local government, any local court, to establish the religion of secular humanism and prohibit the free exercise of the religion of the majority of the people? Something to think about when you see these cases. Pick up a constitution. You can get them for free in lots of places, or you can go online and read through the constitution, read through the amendments. It's eye-opening. You can understand it. It was written so that people with a reasonable education can understand it. If you graduate from high school, you ought to be able to read and understand it. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, 888-677-9673 is our number, and we've got Tom calling in. Tom, welcome to the program here today. Hello, do we have Tom on the line? I can barely hear Tom. Tom, I can hear your radio in the background. We're going to have to come back, I think, when we get Tom. Let me know when you get Tom on the line there. I think he's listening to the radio, and there's going to be a bit of a delay there. And that's one of the things with live radio. There's actually a delay, and the delay is partly a safeguard and things like that in case there's problems. And that allows us to be able to catch things before they go out on the air, hopefully. And usually we don't have a problem with that sort of thing. But the big problem that it can make is if you're listening to the radio and you call in, not just our show, but any talk show, you're most likely going to get confused if you're listening to your radio rather than through your phone, because what comes over the radio is going to be delayed from when I'm talking on the phone. And I think we lost Tom. We're going to try and get him back maybe, or call back in here maybe. In the meanwhile, we have John on the line. And John, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Oh, thank you. How are you tonight?
Hi, good evening. I'm doing well. How are you tonight?
Good. I've always wondered how December 25th became a part of the Baptist religion.
Well, I wouldn't say it's a part of the Baptist religion, and there's always a controversy over what day Jesus was born, and I don't know that the exact day is as important as the fact that Jesus was born, and I choose to celebrate Christmas on December 25th. Now, people in the Orthodox churches, they celebrate it a couple of weeks later in January, but I choose to do so simply because that's what most people are familiar with. And, you know, quite frankly, at this time of year, people are interested in church. They're interested in attending special services. And I have an open door to talk to people that during the rest of the year may not be interested in the things of God. So it gives me an opportunity to be able to reach people. But as far as December 25th goes, I've read people who make a very strong case that the real date of Jesus Christ was earlier in the year. But I've also read some good convincing arguments that Jesus would have been born right around the time frame of December 25th. Maybe more like the Orthodox celebrate it, because they do that because there was a calendar change. And so it was set back into December, and there's various reasons, but it's a date that may or may not be a correct date.
I was wondering, since you say that you follow the example of the apostles, is there any record of the apostles celebrating his birthday?
Well, I know where you're going with that, and no, there is not. But there's other things that we do. There's no example of the apostles running a bus ministry, and a lot of churches run bus ministries. Celebrating Christmas, again, as I said, for me is almost more of a tool in the sense that I can take advantage of that time because people are open to talking about the Bible. And for me, that's the most important thing.
So that would be the only reason then?
Well, I didn't say that was the only reason. That's the main reason, I think, for me, celebrating on December 25th. I mean, it's, you know, we have traditions. There's no example in the Bible, I don't believe, of people celebrating their birthday, or the apostles celebrating their birthdays. But most people listening probably celebrate their birthdays. The only birthday celebration in the Bible that I can think of offhand that was celebrated was Herod's birthday, and that resulted in the beheading of John the Baptist. And so there are some people, notably Jehovah's Witnesses, who do not celebrate birthdays for that reason. Like I said, we have no record in the Bible of the apostles celebrating birthdays, but yet people celebrate birthdays.
I know I was reading where people like George Washington and some of the founding fathers, they didn't celebrate Christmas.
You're absolutely correct. And one of the reasons that when the Americans, with George Washington, had such a tremendous victory at Valley Forge, remember they went across the Delaware River, the famous painting in the boat, you know, pushing the ice away and things like that. The reason they did that is because for the British, they had a big celebration. And the problem is that in many parts of the world, the Christmas celebration had become a period of debauchery, drunken feasts, and things of that nature. And if I had lived in the day of George Washington, I would not have celebrated December 25th and celebrated Christmas, because Christmas celebrated at that time was celebrated with drunken parties and feasts to excess and a lot of immorality and things like that. And that's actually why Washington was able to go against the British, because they were recovering from their drunken feast.
Well, if that was the case, then when did the Baptists start celebrating it the way they do now?
Well, I couldn't give you the exact date on that, but I know that in the 1900s, by the end of the 1800s and early in the 1900s, the celebration of Christmas had changed. Now, there are a lot of people today who still celebrate, with a bit too much to drink and things of that nature, and I do not drink any kind of alcoholic beverage at all. I don't think it's scriptural. I don't think it's godly, and the Bible says we should be sober-minded in when you drink alcoholic beverages, you lose your ability pretty quick to be sober-minded, and so we do not engage in any of those types of activities, but I would say, dare say, from at least sometime in the 1800s and through the 1900s, most Baptists and other Bible-believing Christians of all types began celebrating the birth of Christ, and whether they had good reasons or wrong reasons for doing that, certainly the celebration has changed. And I have friends who are Baptists who do not celebrate Christmas, probably for some of the reasons that you're alluding to. But we have freedom in Christ. We have free will, and we're not to worry in respect to holy days. I could celebrate Passover if I wanted to. As a born-again Christian, I could celebrate Passover. There's some Baptist churches that celebrate Passover. I could choose to celebrate any number of holy days and things, or not to, so long as in the process of observing a celebration, I am not sinning against God in engaging in immoral activity and elevating something above Christ. Some people get carried away. Even Baptists get carried away with the Christmas celebration. I remember listening to a woman in a restaurant one time talking about how she had saved her receipts and found out that some store would give her sale prices after the fact, and she took her receipts in and she got, I don't remember how many hundreds of dollars back. And my wife and I left thinking, wow, I wonder how many thousands of dollars she spent on Christmas. I mean, we don't spend that kind of money. It's like I was advertising, talking about our Christmas Eve candlelight service that we're having at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express for our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, on Christmas Eve at 7 o'clock. We're not going to be engaging in drinking. We're going to be engaging in reading the Scriptures. We're going to engage in singing songs that praise Jesus and recognize that he came into the world to die for your sins and my sins. We're going to celebrate and praise the Lord for things that he's done for us in the past year as individuals and as families and as a church. And then we're going to spend some time fellowshipping with our brothers and sisters in Christ and enjoying our company and kind of trying to put a spiritual focus on things. Now, if somebody finds that offensive, if somebody finds that something that they cannot in good conscience do, then by all means, I wouldn't suggest that you join us. But
You're saying that some of the Baptists don't.
Yeah, because in good conscience, they can't do that. They have a conscience against doing that. We're coming up against the top of the hour here. We're going to run out of time, but no, that's one of those things that I'm not going to tell Christians you can or cannot celebrate Christmas. It's kind of, if I could put it in a different light, it's kind of like the meat sacrifice to idols. And let me give you a quick example on that. I was reading an exchange on Facebook recently talking about the Christmas turkeys, and a lot of people don't realize that the Thanksgiving turkey, and that turkeys, like some of the major turkey brands, are all halal, which means that they're certified for Muslims to eat. That means that a Muslim imam pronounced some kind of blessing or something over them. And there's a lot of Christians who are concerned about that because they don't want to eat, in a sense, meat sacrificed to idols. And Paul said, listen, don't ask any questions about it. Eat what's put in front of you. And if it's a stumbling block, don't eat it. I put on the line, I said, eat ham then you don't have any problem because Muslims won't eat ham. No, we're answerable to Christ. And if a person listening cannot in good conscience celebrate the Christmas holiday, then go with how the Lord's leading you. But I'm not going to tell people that they can't take time this time of year and read the Scriptures about the birth of Christ and sing songs praising Jesus for coming into the world and spend some time in fellowship with other Christians encouraging one another. I mean, that's and take advantage of that.
He's not a baby anymore.
No, he's not. And we recognize that. In fact, I said earlier in the program, he was born in order to die. And that's why really, in many respects, Easter ought to be a much bigger celebration for Christians than Christmas. Hey, John, appreciate the call tonight.
Okay, thank you.
We're out of time, and we're going to have to finish up there on that note. I encourage people, there's some excellent references online. If you want to Google December 25th and birth of Christ or the day that Christ was born, you can find some information. I'll probably post some of that on our website here a little later on or on our Facebook page. Check us out at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And like I said, this is a time of year we got to remember Jesus Christ, that he came into the world and gave himself for our salvation. Out of time, God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenold.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenight.maplenold.us. That's latenight.maplenoel.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 6 p.m. Tune in every week to Late Night with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on WHKW AM, 1220 The Word, and Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN. Late Night Live is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.